A few announcements before the homily. First, the charitable portion of our tithe this weekend will go to the St. Clair Home, which will be a future home for unwed mothers here in South Carolina. This is an effort of our diocese, and we're happy to support this outreach to this important ministry. The flowers in the sanctuary in memory of Robert Streidel, may he rest in peace. This Wednesday, our regular Bible study continues at 6:45. We'll be discussing the dark figure of Lamech and the development of polygamy. Oftentimes, people will look and say, oh, in the Old Testament, they just did that. Actually, no, that was never God's intention. It was a deviance. We'll explain on Wednesday how that happened. This coming Saturday, October 10th, we continue our regular healing masses on all the Saturdays of October. 11 a.m. we'll offer that grace of the sacraments. If you're in need of that healing or of that sacrament, I encourage you to please come to one of these masses. This coming Sunday afternoon, this afternoon, right after this mass, about 1 o'clock, we have our annual blessing of pets. So all the pets, great and small, are invited to come. So I hope you can bring your little pet here in order, or big pet, in order to get blessed. As a parish, we've been very blessed with the talent and resources to develop and enhance an extensive live streaming service. With this blessing comes a responsibility. As such, I encourage all parishioners to please share our content with their friends, their neighbors, their coworkers, whether it's a homily or a session of our book club or a session of our Bible study or some of our devotions. Please share what we're able to do here at Our Lady of Grace. Was speaking with the pastor this the past week. They don't have the money or resources or talent in the parish to have live streaming. Can you imagine if we didn't have live streaming? Right? And there are a lot of parishes that are in that situation. So I encourage us to please be generous with what we have received. Please share this content with other people. We're all very much in need of good news right now. Lastly, I do remind everyone, we've made announcements. I made some announcements from the pulpit, the daily briefing. We've sent out links to all of our protocols. We live in interesting times, and we have a lot of protocols that we've agreed to follow in order for us to be open as a house of worship. I've sent those out. I've announced those. I do just ask that we all please try to follow them. If there's some reason why you or your family cannot follow them, please reach out to me beforehand, and as a parish, we will see whatever we can do to provide help. But I do remind you these protocols are in place. It's above my pay grade, right? These are coming from the governor, from the bishop, from our insurance company, from the CDC. So I do just ask that you please follow these protocols. Again, these are in our electronic newsletter every Friday, and they've been announced from this pulpit and in our daily briefing. If you have any questions, again, please email me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So for the past couple of weeks, here at Our Lady of Grace, we've been discussing contemporary issues. We spoke about life issues and human dignity. We spoke about immigration and the common good. Last week, we discussed the LGBTQ movement and complementarity. It was my intention this weekend to discuss the environment and stewardship. In light of current events, I decided that we needed something else. Something else needs to be addressed this week. And so I'm pushing the environment and stewardship to next weekend. We can talk about the environment then. Because today, I think it's very important that we discuss our church and our discipleship in the public forum. What does it mean that suddenly the Catholic Church now seems to be a major political news item? We used to be the girl that no one wanted to date. Now everybody wants to take us out, right? So what does this mean? And I think it's important that we have some clarity. Who we are, what we are, where we've been, and what we can't let go. So in light of that, I think our parable today helps us. Look at the parable today, the tenants. They had no trust in the landowner. In fact, they were rebellious. They sought to overthrow him. They even killed not only his servants, but his son. They forgot that the land that they were working was not their own. They were beholden to another. Now, this parable was originally directed to the leaders of Israel because they had rejected the patriarchs and then the prophets sent from God. And Jesus, in the parable, prophesies his own death. When as the Son of God, also sent by God, he himself will also die by these wayward tenants. That was the original context. There's a contemporary context for each of us. The tenants are each of us. It's the Catholic Church. And in light of that, we can ask, how are we doing? What type of tenants are we? What are we doing with the land that does not belong to us, but has been entrusted to us? What type of tenants are we? And these are pressing questions. So maybe it's good for us to start with some basics. First, in terms of discipleship, Christian discipleship means radical faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ means that we have heard his message among all the other messages given within humanity. We have heard his message, his good news, and we have decided that that is the way that we choose to live our lives. We have seen in the gospel of Jesus Christ the most excellent way. Nothing else compares with it. Nothing else can compete with it. We have completely and totally surrendered our life to the good news of Jesus Christ. We see all other messages as inferior to his gospel. We choose his way. We choose to follow him above everything else. We accept his cross. We're willing to suffer in order to continue his mission, as we also hope to one day share with him the resurrection and glory. That's what it means to be a Christian. To accept this way of life, of this God-man. I will follow this way of love above all others. We have to once again understand the simplicity and the radicality of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to be a Christian. We are not a Catholic Christian because we happen to grow up that way. We're not a Catholic Christian because it makes us comfortable and it's what we're used to. We are not a Catholic Christian because we appreciate the art or the history of the church. We are not Catholic Christians because we've heard the message when we were younger, or we have felt very connected to these traditions and customs of the past. None of that makes us Catholic Christians. What makes us a Christian is that we have heard and we have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have heard and we choose to follow. But there are temptations. There's a strong temptation to take the culture of the church and to allow it to stand on its own. To say, I grew up Catholic, I go to Mass, I have these devotions, I have Ash Wednesday, I have all the external customs of the church, and to think that that's enough. All of those are given to us by Christ and the church in order to lead to the conversion of our hearts. They are meant to lead us in front of Christ to see those divine eyes, to hear that summons, come, follow me. And to surrender with everything we have to his lordship. If we keep the sacraments and the devotions and the other parts of the church, but we've never had that personal conversion to Christ, then we have turned the sacraments and the devotions into idols. Into idols. We have turned the church, who is bride and mother, her whole purpose is to lead the children of God to Christ. And if we use the church simply for our own comfort, or hold the sacraments only in themselves, then we turn the church, which is mother, into a prostitute. Because the church's function is to lead us to that conversion to Christ, to say my life for Christ, and to declare in the depths of our hearts, Jesus Christ is Lord. To think just because we attend Mass or observe the other externals of the church that we are somehow Christians is foolishness. These do not make us Christians. The external traditions and customs of the church, they are in service to our discipleship. They are meant to make us better Christians, and they were never meant to stand on their own. But some hear the gospel among us, and they allow other messages to be paralleled with it. They merge messages. They compromise. And they adjust the saving teachings of Jesus Christ for their own worldview. They expect Christ to follow them rather than to surrender themselves and follow him. They fall away from the gospel and they begin to think, speak, and act as strangers to the Lord Jesus. As we hear in the gospel, Lord, Lord, did we not do your works? Did we not proclaim your name? And he will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. There must be a personal conversion to Jesus Christ. Today in the parable, the tenants were still on the landowner's property as they waged a rebellion against him. And how many of our own who have heard the gospel but choose to remain in the church, in the kingdom of God, and yet betray and rebel against the very Lord they claim to worship. They use the church, the gospel, and the kingdom of God for their own purposes. They say yes, but not really. They rebel and dissent. They forget that this kingdom is not theirs. This church does not belong to them. They say yes, but only because it's quick access, because they just want the land for themselves and their own gain. They have been described as liberals and progressives. Isn't that such a nice title? Progressive, huh? You can be a progressive. Don't we all want to be progressives? But these are lies. They are not liberals nor progressives. They are dissenters. They are rebels. They present themselves to us as if they are more enlightened than us and our tradition. They think themselves above us in some ways, above our ancient tradition. They pride themselves in being radically free, bound to no one. And they think that that's the abundant life, when truly that is the life of sin, misery, selfishness, isolation, and according to St. Paul, utter foolishness. I remember reading a story of the papal preacher in Rome when he heard that many Italian youth were abandoning the Italian custom of having lunch at home. It's amazing to see. Everything shuts down and everyone goes home for lunch. And Sunday lunch is a huge deal. You're with the entire extended family. It's beautiful. It's good food, good fellowship, nice nap afterwards. It's great. The papal preacher heard that many of the Italian youth were choosing not to go home for lunch, but instead to eat at the new American McDonald's. Because if it's American, it must be cool. And he felt so compelled by that, he actually gave a very strong homily to the Italian youth of Rome. Do not abandon your home, your family, good food, for fast food, for disconnectedness, for unhealthiness. Do not abandon what is so good and so rich for what is so fast and so fleeting. The same could be said for us. Do not abandon the gospel. Do not abandon the kingdom of God, which is so rich and so rewarding and so much family, for things that are passing and fleeting, yet many of our own do. In fact, many of these dissenters are among us. In fact, we know that the dissenters are now the majority. I have always been honest with you, Team Grace. We have discussed the status and the health of the church today. I have given you the Pew Research. You have heard it. The dissenters are the majority. That means that their worldview is beginning to influence the church and how we live. They have created a false norm. And they have marginalized true believers. They've described them as misguided, because the compromised always are worried about respectability, power, and gain. You know, historically, when we came to the United States as Catholics, we were a strong-knit community. We worked and acted as one. We created the most extensive school system in the United States and the most extensive hospital system and outreach service with no money, no grants. We did it on our own with our faith in God and one another. Those very institutions are the ones that are being lost, sold for profit, as the church begins to crumble and dissolve. Look what we were able to do with far less. Far less material resources, but far greater faith. But what happened? Well, what happened was compromise and accommodation became the pastoral norm. The dissenters started to take over. And we so much as Catholics wanted to be accepted in American culture. Because when we arrived, we were weird. We were papists. We didn't worship like the rest of the Americans. And we were bread worshipers. And we had idols in our church. And they mocked our priests for wearing dresses. We were not accepted. And we did not try to be accepted in this culture by our virtue and holiness. which would have been praiseworthy. We became accepted in American culture because of our compromise and our accommodation. And look at the rewards for respectability. Look at the rewards. Those Catholics who are willing to sell their soul to play the game, they are so rewarded by American culture. Do you know what also happens when the dissenters take over and we forget who we are? The things of God are weird. The things of God become odd. Why do they have such a big family? That's weird. Why are they always going to confession? Why are they praying? Why are they reaching out to the poor? Why are they showing mercy? The things of God become very weird. But you know what also happens? The clergy get quiet. Because when it's all about accommodation and when it's all about compromise, you have to be very quiet to make sure you play the game right. This is why you have heard so little from the pulpit about contraception. I've preached it. Let me make it again clear. If you're married, even if you're not married, and you're using contraception, you don't repent, you die, you're going to hell. Contraception is a grave violation, an utter affront to the gift of sexuality and to nuptial and to the nuptial vocation. I've preached that before. That's not news at Our Lady of Grace. As Catholics, we do not abort our children. We do not support those who do. As Catholics, we know by church law, if you assist in an abortion, if you have one, drive the person there, pay for it, you are excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church. You don't belong to us because you have betrayed the fundamental belief of the gospel to fight for the most vulnerable. And such utter betrayal is an excommunication. You are not in communion with us. But that's been dumbed down. And homosexuality, we preach it here. But the church is quiet. The clergy are quiet. Because so many of our clergy are also dissenters. They have also sold themselves out. The truths of faith are presented as if they're some type of cafeteria. Choose the ones you like, or the ones that are respectable, or the ones that will get you the most gain. And those are the ones you can have. But that's not faith. That's not discipleship. We see this vast array of dissension, and it's become the norm. To the point where you can go to a Catholic mass presided over by a Catholic priest in a Catholic church and be shocked that he's preaching Catholic doctrine. I don't know what's up with that priest over there. I'm going to go back over to this parish. I've never heard that before. Open up the Catechism of the Catholic Church and decide for yourself who is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and who are the dissenters. Who are the wolves in sheep's clothing? And who is preaching the gospel that will help you to save your soul in Christ? Because hell is real. People go there forever. It's such a horrible place that the Son of God came and died in order to save us from it. And in order for us to have that salvation, we must surrender to His Lordship and allow His grace to work in our lives and transform us. Because we are fallen. We are fallen and inclined to compromise. But the good among us accuse themselves. But in a land of dissension, the obedience of faith is mocked. Even within the church, how many Catholics mock their fellow Catholics? What also happens is we have this argument that there are different types of Catholics. It's news to me. I just thought there was one type of disciple. But we're told there are multiple types. Do we have one type over here? Hey, he goes to Mass, he wears ashes on Ash Wednesday, but he wants to kill unborn children. That's okay, he's Catholic. And our culture praises him because that's the Catholicism they want. Because he's sold out, he's compromised, and the secularists love him because he's like them. But then they look at another Catholic in the public forum. Why does she have such a big family? What a weirdo. What up with this adoption? Orphans, welcome into her home. Praise and prayer on top of mass. The understanding of the nuclear family with her husband as head. And they mock that because they can't agree with that, because that is detestable to them. But that is the Catholic faith. That is what it means to be a Christian. But they want the caricature. They want the faker. And they tell us that that's the real Catholic. But they are liars. The real Catholic is the one over here. And the reason why we have this diversity of types, this lies, is because the leader of the leadership of the church has failed to call it out, has failed to denounce it. There was a time when our bishops were strong, when they first started selling contraceptions in the 1950s. It was the Catholic bishops on the forefront, preaching, proclaiming, arguing, rallying. Where are they now? Where are our bishops? While the innocent are being slaughtered. There's violence on our streets. Domestic terrorism runs rampant. But everyone's worried about respectability. Everyone just wants to be a part of the club. But that's not what it means to be a Christian. In fact, we know actually that to be a Christian oftentimes means that we are countercultural. Oftentimes we proclaim a message that the fallen world does not want, and oftentimes will persecute. But we Christians, we know the rewards of what it means to follow Christ. We see the hope of glory, and we're willing to persevere, to speak the truth, to call a lie, and to defend the most vulnerable among us. Our faith is vibrant when it's lived. It's weak when it's compromised. Our faith includes a longing and an expression, even in public, of prayer, true prayer. Not playing with a rosary like it's some type of jewelry, but to pray the rosary, even in public, and not be embarrassed of it. When the Catholics first began to leave the ghetto and began to go into regular neighborhoods, they were shocked that the Catholic families would walk around their neighborhoods praying the rosary at night. Go Catholics. When did that stop? Our faith is marked by long confession lines because we know that we are fallen and we need the help of that grace. Our faith has a firm belief and a love for the Holy Eucharist. And when they call us bread worshipers, we're willing to defend and to argue and to hold the line. As our Southern writer Flannery O'Connor once commented, when someone said, "I think it's a symbol," she said, "If it's just a symbol, to hell with it." Our love for the Eucharist also compels us to receive the Eucharist in a worthy manner. That means if we're in grave sin and we have not gone to confession, we do not receive Holy Communion. Sacrilegious communion has been called worse than the kiss of Judas. Our church is mocked by public devotion to the church and her way of life, a life in harmony with all the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Our faith is marked by marriages between one man and one woman for life. Yes, we Catholics still fight for marriage, and we still detest divorce. We defend and we love life, especially in its most vulnerable stages. We have an openness to large families for those who are able to have them. And for those of you who become very accustomed to making fun of large families, I want to let you know, as a Catholic, for you to mock or make fun of a large family is a disgrace. When you do it in this parish, I will not tolerate it. Large families are a blessing. We do not see children as a burden. And when you mock large families, shame on you. When you do it here, that's a disgrace, and we will not tolerate it. The world tells us that children are a burden, some to be avoided. As they say, birth control is neither about birth nor control. We welcome children. We are Christians. We understand our call to chastity, which is an ordering of our sexual desires among all believers. This includes avoiding contraception, acknowledging the sinfulness of homosexuality, It also means a regular praying of the rosary as Catholics. This is what our faith means from the heart. I can show you all day how I carry a rosary in my pocket. That doesn't mean anything unless I'm praying it. Our faith is marked by a service that goes the extra mile, by a love for the poor and a compassion for the sick, the very sick that our culture is trying to kill. Our faith is marked by a mercy that knows no limits. We even forgive those who hurt us and our loved ones because we are Christian. And the list goes on, dear friends, about what it means to be a Catholic Christian. Our church, our discipleship, is about Jesus Christ. It's about living according to his gospel, about having unconditional attachment to Christ alone, and not allowing anything or the poison of this passing world to enter into our souls. And so, dear friends, if you are this type of disciple who has heard the gospel and accepted Christ in your heart, first, I'm glad there are other believers among us. If that's you, then I can encourage you to continue to fight and seek to surrender to Jesus Christ every day. To understand that this kingdom does not belong to us, and to put forth your best efforts. But if this is not who you are, and you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, then I say to you what the Lord Jesus says to us all: repent, change your life, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you choose not to repent, and you don't want to repent, and you don't want to repent, then it's time for you to go. Go as a friend, but live out the fact that you have allowed yourself to become a stranger to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have too many liars and too many deceivers among us. Now is the time for integrity. Now is the time to decide what type of tenant we will be, that you will be. The type of tenant you desire to be. I encourage all of us to take our hands and place them on the plow, on the land that belongs to our Lord, and to never look back. To affirm that nothing compares with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing merits a compromise. And let Christ be our all in all. This is our invitation, dear friends. This is the invitation given to us. I encourage you not to rebel against our landowner, to surrender yourself to him, and to bear the fruit of his kingdom, to serve Christ alone, to obey him, and to love him above all else.